So you're all very welcome to this practice information session on the first of our autumn schedule. So today we're going to be discussing why council elections are important and how to get involved. I'm joined by Kate McKenna, who's a council member and works for Frontline Ventures, and Peter McKenna, who's a partner and chair of the Technology Committee. I'm also joined by Deirdre Nugent, e-voting manager, project manager. So you're all very welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Afternoon, Justin.
I suppose we'll just get started and maybe just as a bit of a background for everybody. So could we just discuss a little bit about what is council and its role within the law society and then the wider public interest that it might have? So do you want to just kick off there, Kate?
Sure. Hi, Justin. Thanks for having me. And delighted to speak about why council elections are important and how you can get involved. So the council... I suppose it is the governing body of the profession, and it manages and steers the direction of the profession. My role as council member is a representative role of the profession and the membership, one that I take very seriously. Do you want to talk about the actual makeup of the council, or
maybe just for those who aren't like fully aware of like how many members there are, what's the function of the actual council itself, how does it meet or how does it operate, what's its kind of main kind of core functions, I suppose?
Sure, yeah. So there are 31 ordinary members, and they are joined also by the provincial members. So there are representatives of the four provinces as well. And then also members of the Southern Bar, the Dublin Bar Association, and they're extraordinary members. So I think each council member has to serve 2 years. So I'm going into my second year from November onwards. We meet up 8 times a year. It's great because we can do it. You can join the meetings remotely as well. So that gives a lot of flexibility to your ability to, you know, be a member of council. I think it is great to be in the council chamber and being there in person, but if you can't make it for whatever reason, you can join remotely. So the additional, I suppose, ask then when you become a council member is that you obviously sign up to and become a member of the standing committees and non-standing committees. Now, I was already a member of the non-standing committee, the technology committee with Peter, which Peter is chair of, and pretty active member for a number of years. But since I joined council, I then joined the in-house and public sector committee. And I also joined the Regulation of Practice Committee. So they are sort of an additional time ask to your, reading of the council materials and your attendance at council meetings.
And there's quite a few committees as well, isn't there? So there's a wide range of committees for people to get involved in.
Absolutely. And it seems to be growing every year. I'm not sure.
Will there be 23 committees?
23, yeah, that's incredible. And I think, the in-house committee is only really 6 or 7 years old. So, I think they're adding the committees as new things come on board, like ESG and environmental and sustainable investments policies come on board from Europe. And I think they're looking at creating an additional committee for that this year. So the committees are an incredible way to get involved, and we're certainly at nearly a stepping stone for me becoming a council member.
And what is the actual role of a council member? What specifically are you tasked with, or is it for you to choose, or is it for you to sort of go into a particular area that suits your own business, or is it more of a wider lens that you're kind of looking at?
Yeah.
And a public interest kind of view.
Yeah, I suppose I can only answer for myself, but I suppose I went in to council with the purpose of representing in-house private sector, having and giving a voice to Disability Legal Network that I also sit on, and I'm a community member of, and also bringing technology, which I'm extremely passionate about, into the council chamber. So representing all of those voices at council, and that to me was a driving factor of why I chose to you know submit my candidacy for election to council. And you know, people go in with different modus operandi, but I think, you know, it's a everyone who sits in council, they're extremely passionate and giving of their time, they're, you know, voluntarily, and that to me was a real eye opener. The you know, the time and the passion, the commitment given by everybody in council was eye opening to me. Coming in, I suppose when you sat outside and you look in, you know, you kind of think it's a closed space, not accessible to me. And I think I'd like to break that barrier down and say, you know, anybody who wants to see a change, as Peter, you know, and you made on, you know, the title of this information session, you know, be the change you want to see. And for me, that's I suppose I was wanting to bring into the chamber and, you know, be a voice for the things that I'm passionate about on council and push the agenda.
And I know there's a strategy review has been conducted over the last sort of 6 months, and that strategy review is going to slowly but surely move into sort of an implementation mode. So what better time if you're thinking of trying to get change or bring change to the law society and have views on things? Now is really the perfect time, I would have thought, with a new refreshed executive leadership team and a new mandate from the members to who've been heavily polled or questionnaired or given feedback on to get involved.
Yeah, I think that's one of the huge success story of council, that they've engaged the profession so widely. I mean, obviously it's something that needs to be done. You can't just, you know, not engage the profession. But the way and the methodology that's been rolled out over the last year, so engaging council and, you know, engaging the membership, and the committee members as well, and getting all of the voices together to kind of formulate a cohesive voice and to know what it is that, you know, profession care about, you know, technology being one of them, a major one of them, in fact, cybersecurity. Those are things that sort of sit quite neatly within technology. So you can see like how satisfying and gratifying it is to, you know, to be at the table, you know, when those discussions are being had.
And what type of people sit around the table with you or are on the council at the moment? Was there anything that surprised you about that, or?
Not necessarily. I didn't really know very many people on council before I joined. People have been very welcoming, and what was surprising to me was, as was the duration of tenureship within the council. Like some people are in there, have been there for, you know, 15, 20 years, and I think that's you know, an incredibly long time. You think of the institutional knowledge that they have, but also questioning, you know, is that for the greater good of the law society? And I suppose this is where we want to push e-voting and to open up and democratize the council and to make it, I suppose, more accessible to people who wouldn't have seen it before as a possibility, somewhere they could see themselves sitting around a table with all of these people and having a voice.
And is there a wide mix of, sorry Peter,
sorry Justin, just to add to a couple of points that Kate was saying, certainly any of my interactions with the council and from what I can see with Kate's her involvement, because obviously from the technology committee I've talked to Kate quite a bit, but it's a huge investment of time that these individuals give and are so committed to the profession itself and giving of their time to the council and the meetings and over a sustained period of time, because that's obviously that's at a cost to them, but it's something that they willingly will give, and it's because I suppose they're there and they see the benefits of being in the council and the benefits it has not only on their own livelihoods, because everything we're talking about here is this directly affects all our livelihoods as solicitors, lawyers, be it in-house, in private sector or whatever. And I'm supposed we'll touch on that in a minute, but the huge benefits of being there at that table, as Kate has already touched on, at being directly involved and having a direct impact with your voice.
I suppose something you touched on there, Peter, and maybe I'll ask it to you, Kate, the time management and the time requirement. I mean, how have you managed that? How has it been manageable? And how, you know, just for people thinking about getting involved.
I think it's certainly something to bear in mind when you are putting yourself forward. It's a conversation that you have to have with your employer if you're not a partner, and there are one or two people who are on council who are on partners. And I think that kind of speaks to like the issue. Like, I'd like to see a change there for it to be more open to kind of people who, you know, who have that flexibility in their working life, to be able to go for council. It is a huge time commitment. So you meet on Fridays. The council meetings are on Fridays. They're usually between 11 and 1. Sometimes they run over, and then you have a lunch afterwards. Obviously, there's a lot of reading material. There's like quite a large tome of a booklet that you get to read the week in advance. And you know, there are things you have to stay on top of then in between times, and then obviously the council, the committees that you sit on, the regulation of practice committee, which I started on in November. It's just an absolutely fascinating insight into the profession for me, coming from an in-house perspective, coming from a big firm, going in-house. And not seeing, you know, small practitioners from around the country, and seeing how hard it is for them to, you know, maintain their livelihoods and their business, and I think that it's the way that it's run is extremely thoughtful and considerate, and you know, there's an awful lot of direction towards, you know, assisting people with their mental health issues. Because running a business and maintaining compliance with all the things you have to do as a sole practitioner or as a, you know, a managing partner of a small firm around the country is a lot for anybody. So I mean, that's been hugely insightful for me to sit around that table and see the people that come in the door. So that again, it's another few hours every day. So I sat down with my employer frontline and I said, look, you know, going to be on council this year. It's going to have some time commitments. Once you can get your work done, you know, you can fit stuff around it. And it's all, I suppose, to do with how much you want to give. You can't give 100% of yourself to everything all the time. So you do end up kind of having to pick and choose, like, okay, I actually can't say yes to that this month because of X, Y, and Z. And, you know, you have to have your family and your personal life as well. So I think everybody who would go for council, you do it because you're passionate about it, or it's all in the mind. As once your mind willing, you'll find ways to fit it in around your workload. But again, I think it's important to have open, transparent conversations with your employer, and obviously that's a benefit that you're on council because you're representing your firm or your company, and I think that can't be anything but beneficial.
So I suppose looking back on a year in council now, has it sort of met your expectations of why you wanted to get involved in council, or
that's a big question.
Yeah. or do you have any individual examples of how you, like, specific to yourself that you wanted to share with people who were maybe thinking about running or getting involved?
Yeah. I think it is what you make it. There are I can't talk about everything that has come up in council because that's sort of confidential. But there's been certain areas where I've been able to stand up and say I don't agree with that, and I'm saying it's a problem for in-house solicitors, for example, and whatever that problem is, and I suppose. Because most of the people there are coming from private practice, they just don't have that insights as to what it being in-house entails, essentially. So, just painting the picture for them, it is really has been really beneficial. Then the again driving the agenda of the Disability Legal Network. I was able to try to I suppose use the contacts there to leverage for increased basically a membership role in the council for somebody on the DLN, but it didn't go through, but it was still able to I was still able to be the one to know who the people to contact where about it and trying to co-opt them into council. Then there's been a few other examples where you can you can I suppose pick your battles, and that's been really satisfactory to me. And I think anybody there is very open to you speaking and they're delighted that that you get up and speak and that you're engaging and I think that's been it's been nothing but a really positive experience for me for the last year in terms of the openness of everybody else on council.
So is it worth then maybe just to having a discussion between us a little bit about some of the benefits of being involved in the council and how because it sounds like it's got a really important role in sort of shaping and developing the future of the profession, but then personally there's also huge opportunities for maybe younger members or to get more experience in this arena as such. So would you have any Peter, would you have anything to add in on that at all, or like sort of you get to work on interesting policy areas, influencing
I
policy.
definitely, yeah, I think there's definitely the me and the we reasons for getting involved. Like the me is the personal growth and development, the leadership skills, the governance. You learn about governance. You have a deeper understanding of the profession itself, and it's challenging. And there's also the networking opportunities you have to look at here because you're going to be obviously dealing with other lawyers out there, but judges, other legal professionals from various backgrounds. But having a deeper understanding of all those issues that affect our profession, especially if you intend staying within the profession for a period of time, it is great to be there at the coalface to understand all these different issues and obviously having a direct impact on what on the policies themselves. So it's
And the
beneficial to
wider
your career.
legislation as
Well,
well, impacting or
and that's the we part, because that affects so obviously a healthy legal profession is necessary for society. And you're directly involved in ensuring that, that there's the you're being a voice for change. If you feel that there's an area that's being underrepresented, perspective that's not represented, just a bit like Kate has spoken there about in-house or the disability network, that you're able to present or be provide that voice in there directly in chambers, and you're able to promote access to the justice and the legal system and directly influence legislation, that obviously not only impacts on society but maybe our profession itself. So there's the me and there's the we reasons why you would get involved in council, that's for sure.
is there anything you'd like to add to that, Kate, at all? Or
So reasons why you join council, I mean, again, the main kind of really juicy things that we're working on at the moment is obviously like developing and working on progressing the work of the Dignity at Work report that issued in 2021. Yeah, basically that's going to be something that's going to be ongoing for the foreseeable. So I think that's hugely important and impactful for the profession, rolling out policies to underpin and govern how people deal with issues they have, you know, workplace sexual harassment, bullying, and having clear protocols in place for the profession, trainees, members, council, executive, the actual employees of the law society. That, I mean, that's going to be a huge body of work. It's extremely important. I'm glad to be able to say at least I'll be there for another year to see how that goes and to push that agenda. And then there's also the strategy for the 2024-28 strategy of the Law Society. I mean, we're facing an unprecedented amount of global issues that we have to factor into how we, you know, maintain competitiveness within the profession, how we can assist our members to for their businesses to remain competitive, and also not have, you know, a hub being in Dublin, but also provide support to the to members all across the country. You know, I think, you know, what I'm proud about is, you know, the Law Society standing in support of, you know, Ukrainian the people of Ukraine and the rising of the flag, and all the lobbying and the support that they've given and have a specific, you know, place on the site for Ukrainian lawyers coming and looking for work in Ireland. I mean, that shows a you know, strong moral compass, and is something that I'm, you know, you're proud to kind of be involved with. You know, the other side of that you just mentioned, obviously the policy work and the incredible work that you know, Geoffrey Shannon probably would have spearheaded in terms of putting together proposal submissions, you know, in terms of up and coming legislation, and the assisted you know, capacity making legislation, that piece of legislation, what, you know, he worked really hard in bringing in. I think it was a transition period that was really key, and you know, that's just is hugely impactful for the people of Ireland. So
finally, just a quick question for you: would you have any advice for someone who might say that, you know, this is not for me, in trying to convince them that it actually might be for them? Either of you?
Yeah, I think speak to council members. I think people are very giving of their time, as I said. I am more than happy to speak to anybody who wants to contact me. I think my email address is fairly easy to come by, and find out more about it. And I would feel it, you know, it's a hugely incumbent on me to say that anybody can put their name down for council, no matter if you, I mean, you also have to be a member of the society. If you fit those criteria, then you know, I think I would love to see more representation, you know, across the profession, be it more women, more black, brown, you know, disability, people with disabilities joining the council. I mean, one of the key points that, you know, a disability activist, which I love, says, you know, if you're not at the table, or who's not at the table, right? And people, you know, the table in the council chamber right now is made up of white people, predominantly, and able-bodied people. And I would love to see that change and develop from here on in. So again, I would give my time to anybody who wants to talk to me about what they think, you know, if they have issues or they have queries about what, you know, it would mean to be on council, or put your name forward for
so I'm slightly conscious of the time, so I just like to move on to the sort of like, how do you get nominated and what are the sort of procedures for that? And I know, hopefully Deirdre and Peter, you might be able to come in on this a little bit. So there is a web page here with a link, and it's available on the lawstudy.ie website, but it's all of what's involved in getting yourself nominated and when the elections take place. So we might just discuss that a little bit. So maybe Kate, you could talk a little bit around, so like, how do you get nominated? Can anyone? Do you have to be a member? My understanding is you need to be a member of the Law Society. And Deirdre, you might be able to just give us the brief.
Yeah, so you have to be a member of the Law Society and you decide that you want to seek nomination. You need one member to nominate you and you need another member to second your nomination. So that's the mechanism of it. This year we're moving into an electronic nomination system to marry up with our e-voting system. And again, kind of like Kate said, to support that inclusivity so that it's easier for people to nominate, to seek nomination. Maybe Peter, do you want to go through the steps of the system maybe?
Yeah, so it's very easy. I think you just, when you log in through the Law Society website, actually, if you click on the link, there's a carousel, you know, on the homepage that you can click on the links to it. There's emails that have been sent out already by the Director General where you can click on the links to it. But it takes you through
to the website there.
And even the Law Society, the website address there is lawsociety.ie/elections. So you click on that link, it brings you through to the next page where you will see the link that says seek nominations. You click on the link that says seek nomination. I don't know if you want to go on to the next page there, Justin, but you click on that link. It takes you to the next page. And very simply, what happens is that you'll be asked to, your details will come up because you've had to log into the Law Society webpage to get there. So your details will be there already. You just need to put in the name and the address of the first proposer or nominator, if you want to call them that, and also the name and the email address of the second proposer and nominator. And then you just tick a box that simply says that you are confirming that you're seeking election to the council. So yeah, there, just there. If you click on that link to seek nomination for annual election, 2023 brings you to this page. Your details will appear up there, your name, the practice that you're in, the address of your practice. You put in the name there and email address of the first nominator, the second nominator. And just at the bottom there, you see there's a box that says seek nomination. By clicking that button, you're confirming your willingness to serve as a member of the council. Once you tick on that box, an email then is sent to the first nominator that you have inserted the details of. They get sent an email that says that somebody has advised us that you wish to nominate them for election. And obviously you will have talked to that person beforehand and they will know who this is about. They will click on that. Now you're only able to nominate two people. There's a maximum of two people you're able to nominate. But they will click on that. They will just fill out the details confirming their nomination of that individual. Then the second nominator gets sent an email, same thing, told that, you know, somebody's advised that they are, that this person is to nominate them as a for election. They fill out the simple email as well. Clicking the link in that email, sorry, they fill out that part. And then the person who's seeking nomination just gets an email to confirm that they're now their nomination has been submitted. And what happens then is, and this all has to be done there before the 25th of September. As you see at 5 o'clock on 25th of September, you need to obviously just fill out that first piece there about then the seeking nomination. And obviously the individuals need to fill out the emails as well, confirming their nomination of that person. The scrutineers then just go through the nominations just to make sure that the person obviously is a member, that there's no reason why their nomination can't go ahead in case anybody obviously wants to raise an objection to anybody being nominated. They have the ability to do that under the bylaws. And once the scrutineer has determined that, you know, everything's in order, they would then be contacted about providing their canvas material, which you see that has to be provided by the 12th of October. It can't be more than 500 words. This is just more about you as an individual, what you intend to bring to council, should you be elected, what you offer the profession. And then from the 20th of October, the voting begins and people have the ability then to vote electronically, as we've said before. Voting closes on the 2nd of November. It's a 14-day window and the election results will be announced on the 9th of November. You just covered everything there, Deirdre, unless I've left anything out.
Yeah, I think that covers everything. So yeah, the process is kind of driven by the person who wishes to be nominated. So if you did wish to be nominated, like Peter said, you would speak to the people who are going to nominate you in advance, and so that you'd have their name and their email address that you can fill in as the nominations. But it's you know, the paper-based system was physically handing pieces of paper from one nominator to the second or back to the person, whereas now it's all done electronically. So hopefully, you know, that will mean that maybe there could be a broader spread of geographically who's going to nominate you, because you don't have to see them to physically hand over pieces of paper or post things around. So hopefully it will be a much more simple system.
And just to add to this, that it's fairly simple and straightforward, as we've just demonstrated there, but mm-hmm. more information will be provided to the website to give people further assistance and to explain what they need to do if they wish to be nominated.
Yeah, so it's www.lawsociety.ie/elections. We'll break it there, or just go to the website itself. And then there's plenty of email addresses there if you need clarifications or people to ask questions of. We'd really encourage you to really consider nominating or considering yourself to be nominated. So unless you have anything further to say, Kate, we're kind of out of time. And Peter, if you'd like to make some sort of final remarks or comments.
Yeah, I would just finish by saying that we are such a diverse profession, and we have people coming from so many different backgrounds. They have so much to offer. Don't underestimate how much you have to offer to this profession. Put your name forward.
Here, here.
And Kate, do you have anything final to say as a council member?
Fantastic closing note. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks very much, Kate and Peter and Deirdre, for sharing your insights with us this afternoon. And hopefully we'll receive some new nominations. If anyone wants to get in contact with Kate, you can email me, j.purcell@lawsociety.ie, and I'll pass on the details to Kate. And we'd encourage you to talk to other council members if you're considering it and get involved. So, Sloan, thanks very much.
Thanks,
thank you.
Future schedule for the information sessions are available on the website, and we're joined on September the 20th by Simon Trainer, who's going to talk about partnerships and all the different types of them, and then the succeeding practice rule as well. So we look forward to talking to you then. We'll have a copy of this available later tomorrow, so if people want to watch it back. So, Sloan.